Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more. Welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast, this episode brought to you by Darwin's Finches, this year coming to a little affair near you. I am your host, Tom of Robots. I am here, as usual, with my co-host, Sam, and Seven Legend. Sam, how you doing, buddy? And why is Darwin's Finches your favorite band?
You know, their music is just transcendent.
It's a little bit out of this world, isn't it?
I'd say that their first and only album has been stellar. It was an absolutely... galactically beautiful EP.
Galactically beautiful. It was like a lunar eclipse of my mind.
I was trying to remember all of the adjectives that Morinth uses to describe that one band that she's super into. I feel like she says that they're transcendent. I can't remember exactly all of the different cliche things that she says, but I am very happy to be here. Not so happy with my laptop as per usual, but one week away from getting my PC, so
very soon. I feel like we just talked, and that's probably because we did.
We did, yeah, just a few days ago.
Yeah. But you know what? It's not just us this week, because it is the last week of the month, which means that it is time to talk with our patrons again. Some of our favorite people are here. Sam, who's here with us this week? Do you want to go through the list or should I?
I can do it. Yeah. Why not? I'm just going to go in the order that I see here in front of me. And we're on a Zoom call right now. By the way, one of the benefits of joining us live, you get to see, of course, mine and Tom's beautiful faces. And you also get to see all the beautiful faces of our patrons as well. So I'm just going to go down the list here in front of me on Zoom and introduce each of our patrons. So Teacup, how are you doing?
Doing good.
Good. We got Turbo Toboggan as well, formerly Kather.
Hello.
Kather, who I will forever now call Turbo Toboggan, because that is definitely the better name.
Yep.
And we got Psych as well. How are you doing, Psych?
Hey, happy to be here.
And of course, we have Vervada. Vervada, how's it going?
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another patron episode. Also, I just want to shout really quick to everyone in the path of Hurricane Ida, because I live in Pensacola, so it just barely missed us. My thoughts are with you. I hope you're safe.
Yes, please be safe, everybody.
And we have Hool the Fool, of course. How's it going, Hool?
I'm good. How are you doing, buddy?
Just peachy. You know me.
Just peachy.
And, of course, we have our Tier 5 patron, Sovereign. Sovereign, how are you doing today?
Where am I and who are you people?
As good as always, I guess.
You've called in to the relationship hotline. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to be going over stuff like
this
that.
This is the Darwin's Finches fan cast. Welcome.
Yes, Darwin's Finch's roadie show. That's what this is. And I think that's all we have for today. Is that right? We're missing a couple of our favorite patrons.
Yeah, there's, you know, real life things get in the way, but hopefully they'll be able to join us again next month. So what is our topic this week?
So this week, we're going to be talking about something a little bit similar to the previous patron chat, but a little different. So as listeners might recall, last time we all gathered together, we were talking about the Mass Effect 3 endings, and we were discussing which one is best. And obviously, our choices were a little bit limited back then, because we were discussing red, blue, green, i.e. control, destroy, synthesis, and the different variations of destroy, as well as the refuse or reject ending. But now our conversation does not have to stay within those confines, because this week we're talking about how would you have ended the Mass Effect trilogy? And so we can go a lot of different ways with this. And personally, I'm very anxious to see what inventive things that our patrons picked up on that maybe didn't occur to me.
Yeah, so absolute freedom here. You are not confined by the choices that you were limited to at the end of the trilogy. This is one way that I like to think of this discussion is almost like, what were you expecting to be able to do when you got to the end of the story? Where did you expect to be able to go? What were you hoping to be able to achieve? What were you thinking that your choices were going to lead up to? What would have been your ideal solution? How would you have ended it? Were you able to do so? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there's a ton of ways that we can go with this. And I, you know, there are going to be so many great tangents. I already know that we're going to get off on some tangents and it's going to be very productive. Everyone's going to have a great time. And of course, we're going to be considerate and respectful of all of each other's feelings.
Mm-hmm. We're all going to leave as friends. Everyone's going to be fine. Nobody's going to get punched in the face.
Yeah, we're all
physically or virtually. Yes, it's all going to be fine. So I can see all the wheels moving. Those of you who are watching either currently on the live stream or on the YouTube video later, I'm sure you're looking at all of these faces and you could just see it in their eyes. All the gears are turning. They're reliving the situations. They're going back through. They're going, okay, what would I have done differently? Who feels like they have an answer to this? Is anybody ready to chime in? Ravada?
I don't want to go first if someone has something else, but I wrote like a whole memo on my computer earlier today.
Oh no, you seem prepared. Yeah, go for it.
I guess the two options when I was thinking about how could it have ended, my two thoughts were either it should have ended, as in Andromeda should have never happened, or it should have ended a lot differently to leave more narrative room for what they've ended up doing, which is make Andromeda. And now they're trying to combine, I guess, or connect Andromeda with the original trilogy with this next game based off of all the analysis of the trailer. I don't know if anyone's watched any of that, but or listened to all the YouTube theories and stuff. But so for me, I was kind of bummed. I can't remember the writer's name, but there was this interview in 2013 who he used to work at BioWare. I bet Sam knows his name, but he had that dark energy plot that kind of got dropped because he left BioWare.
Drew Karbyshyn.
Yeah, thanks. I couldn't remember what his last name was. But yeah, so I really liked that idea and I thought that should have been incorporated because it would explain the Hailstrom sun where you find Tali in Mass Effect 2. And then it would have connected to the Scourge in Andromeda because they're both dark energy. And it would have kind of given a better motivation for why the Reapers were killing the organics in the first place. Because according to that interview, he said that essentially the use of biotics would have been causing the end of the universe. It would have created this dark energy effect that would have affected the space-time continuum, and that the reason the Reapers are killing organics is because they discovered that powerful biotics would have fixed that and been able to combat the dark energy, and Protheans weren't quite powerful enough for it, and neither were Asari, so that's why they were hastening the end of the organics. But then they didn't do anything with that. So I'm kind of hoping that in Mass Effect 4, they do something with that. Like, I think they'll have to, I've thought about it many ways, how they could connect Andromeda with Mass Effect original trilogy. And that's how, because I guess because they chose not to just completely end the story at Mass Effect 3, they kind of have to go back and make these puzzle pieces fit together somehow. Otherwise, it's just too much disbelief will have to be suspended, I guess. I don't know. Like, I just want them to wrap everything up in a nice little bow. So maybe they should pursue the dark energy theory. I really like that. So I'm hoping that that goes further in. I did like a lot of calculations because for Andromeda, I don't know if everyone's played Andromeda, but that was 633 years after they left the Milky Way galaxy when the events of Andromeda happened. And then like there's Supposedly, the Scourge event happened 500 years in the past. So that was 130 years in the future from the end of Mass Effect 3. And I'm like, what's that about? Is that where we're going? Or are we going, like, why is Liara there? I have so many questions, but that's what I hope that they do. So I guess I don't really have a proper ending because they chose not to just end it. Like, I'm trying to figure out how they're going to end it, I guess, because it's still not over, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'm rambling. Thanks, well, guys.
Messing with the time-space continuum part of that seems like I guess Marvel, the MCU kind of went in that direction, right? Now we've got the multiverse thing. That seems to be the kind of the new hotness, right? Like, let's open everything up and just make it all crazy and deal with it. And I don't necessarily want it to go that far, but the idea of being able to, everybody wants Shepard to be in 4, right? And we have this big opening of years. We have justification for how is Shepard still alive? You know, all of these other pieces of the puzzle. Changing the time-space continuum gives them a lot of options to play with. The ability to explore more of the things that happened before the trilogy, the ancient races, exploring the universe before that time frame, you know, the creation of the Reapers, any of that stuff. I don't know. It does give a lot more options if you can actually, you know, get into some of that.
I think the dark energy plot line, very interesting, kind of sad that it was dropped. I also understand from a practical reason why, even if Drew Karpyshyn would have stayed on, they might not have gone with it, because it's pretty hard to top that threat. And in fiction writing, especially with video games, and if they're planning on making more of them, they need to have a threat that they can always top, you know, or at least circumvent with the next iteration of the series. And with a dark energy plotline that's not just affecting the Milky Way, but it's affecting the entire universe, that becomes pretty hard to surmount in terms of how do you write a better villain than an environmental hazard. However, that being said, the twist ending would have been that the Reapers were merely trying to groom the right biotic candidates, and that they weren't actually the bad guy, that they were operating in a way that was, you know, arguably in organic's best interest, much more arguable than the ending that we got. So I think that would have been a pretty interesting ending. Thanks for bringing forward that theory, Bravada. Does anyone else have any comments about the dark energy theory?
I've just got a quick idea. What if the dark energy plotline isn't the next big bad, but is a big bad that spans multiple arcs? Is a big bad that is in the background behind multiple other big bads? Does that make sense? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if it would be a big bad, though, because in Andromeda, it was used as a weapon. We just don't know against who, which what I thought was really clever and very curious. But I also, if the whole biotics thing was causing and hastening the end of the universe, then one thing that could have been something that was bad would be the Leviathans, because, I mean, we don't exactly know how they do what they do, but it was theorized that they supplement their natural abilities with element zero and even maybe biotic amplifiers. So with how powerful they are, maybe their biotics would be causing the issue with dark energy. I don't know. Like, I just thought there was already puzzle pieces left in the games, both games, like the original trilogy and Andromeda. So I kind of was like, they have to, I don't know. I'd be surprised if they don't do something with it. I don't know. Like what, but I was trying to, I don't know. It can't be completely out of the blue, you know, it has to be connected somehow. Well, the Andromeda and Mass Effect trilogy. So that's the only thing I can think of that currently really connects them, because it's something that showed up in both galaxies already.
Right. Well, what I'm suggesting isn't that it's a big bad, like a conscience bad guy, more of the more people use it, the more biotic energy is created or used, or the more this energy, this dark energy is harnessed, the more it hastens the death of the universe, the death of the, you know, everything. And that becomes more and more fleshed out as the series progresses, and it gets hinted at more and more and more, and revealed more and more as the series goes on. And so it's not necessarily the next big thing that gets revealed and has to be solved. So it's not the climax of the next trilogy. It is the underlying, like, thread, I guess would be a better thing, for the next series of threads. Does that make sense? I don't know. Just an idea.
Teacup, I thought I saw that you might have had something to say.
Oh, I just was wondering, and I can't remember because my playthrough Andromeda was not the most in-depth, but did we ever find out, like, what the Revenant's purpose was?
Now, anyone that's in this chat can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, what the player was told was that the Remnants were created by the Jardaan as a means of basically preserving and defending the repositories of knowledge that the Jardaan left behind.
I was just thinking it would be another kind of tie-in. You have this kind of sentient, synthetic race that oversees the galaxy. Could the Reapers and the Remnant be similar design in that aspect?
That would be an interesting tie-in and an interesting continuation of the theme, the whole AI versus organic life theme. However, what we do know is that there's everyone in Andromeda, every one of the researchers of the initiative, and pretty much everyone in the Andromeda game seems to think that the Remnant are not sentient. So that would be quite the twist if we found out that they are, or that they're becoming sentient. Did anyone else have any prepared remarks about how they thought the series should have ended? Psych?
Okay. I've got two. My big one is just towards the ending of Mass Effect 3 entirely, and the other one's a little bit more grander. I would have cut basically everything that happens after you kill you kill Kylite, okay? But everything after that, I'd have just cut. The idea of using the Citadel as a catalyst, which, first off, BioWare does this. One of the big sins of storytelling is they do a tell. They just tell you, oh, hey, Citadel's been taken, which to me also kind of undercut the whole idea of saving it to begin with multiple times. He just walks in and takes it and moves it to Earth. Like, how? Why? But I would have changed the catalyst to something else. Something else you have to go get, or either a Prothean artifact or another, older race kind of thing. Like, hey, they've made a thing. It kind of sort of connects to this. We can maybe, we'll fit it in somehow, right? And then you'd save the world. I also would have changed how all the options work, because like Mass Effect 2, right? You have the opportunity to save everybody. Everyone you bring with you, you save. And you don't get that with Mass Effect 3, which I get. The whole idea is you can't save everyone, but that's the point of playing, right? That's the point of escaping into this world. I get to be someone larger than life who can do the impossible. And I didn't get that. All my options required someone dying, either my shepherd or the Geth or changing everybody. Like, those are why those options sucked. My other grander would have been, I wouldn't have killed Shepard at the start of Mass Effect 2. I wouldn't have done anything with Cerberus or any of that other stuff. I would have preferred to have seen a game that explored the two main missions of Mass Effect 3, which are cure the Genophage and resolving the Corian Geths war. overall, like the whole point is, like, the whole point of Mass Effect 2 would have been to resolve the conflict between the Quarian and the Geth. Like, that whole game would have been it. Because it felt very unrealistic that he basically cures AIDS and resolves the Middle East crisis in, like, 3 months or whatever.
I've got a question for you, Psych. In some RPGs, for example, in something like in some of the darker story type RPGs, like in the Fallout series, for example, in Fallout 4, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So you pick a faction that you have to align with, which means you have to go against another faction. So even if you are friends with this faction and friends with this faction, ultimately you have to go against somebody. You can't, like, you don't get the option of everybody wins. And there are a lot of people who like that series because they just like that series. And that type of RPG is considered darker for those reasons, right? But you're right, in Mass Effect 2, you do get the option of, like, you can save everybody. In 3, you can't. I'm curious, do you think, had you not had the option in 2 to save everyone, you would have felt as disappointed with 3's ending? Do you think because you could save everyone in 2, you were set up to expect that you would be able to save everyone in 3, that you were given, like, a tone expectation for 3?
Yeah, actually. They set you on this grim path, like, and everyone's telling you you're not going to be able to do it all. You can't save everyone,
There are a lot of other examples in the series where you are given these if this then not this kind of options. Like, you are put in a rock and a hard place many times in the series where, like, if you pick this, this terrible thing happens, but if you pick this, this terrible thing happens, and it happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the big one is obviously the Vermeer survivor. You know, you pick one, that's it, game over.
Yeah. It does happen a lot of times. It's just, I think that this, you're right. In 2, when it comes to the people you are closest to, it doesn't force that on you.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the one time it really just doesn't force that on you.
It to me, it felt like sure, the world was ending, the galaxy was at war, but you're Shepard. You can do anything. You can save them. You're not going to save everybody, but you can save most of them. And you really don't get that option with what was currently given at the time.
Aether, did I see that? I'm sorry, Turbo Toboggan. Did I see that you raised your hand?
I did, but I was mostly disagreeing with him about that point about how 2 felt kind of different about, because technically how in 2, like, the only you literally lose no one, but in Mass Effect 3 you practically lose everyone from 2, depending on how you do it.
I mean, yeah, but those are all, I'm going to say, story elements, but I don't know.
Because you lose more than, well, you can't save him technically, but you lose more than, you can lose Legion. You can lose,
Legion no matter what.
Yeah.
Yep, I have a question. We're talking about losing people and not losing people, and I think that can become kind of binary, like, you know, zeros and ones. Are they alive or are they dead? But what if there's the third option, which was already written into the game, and I was talking about it during a stream of mine today, which is, why did we not see more of the people who were close to Shepard become indoctrinated? Which is, why did we not see someone maybe that my Shepard really loved? Like, what if your love interest could become indoctrinated? Imagine how tragic that would be. And then you have to make a hard call whether or not to, like, kill off your own love interest. I mean, talk about, like, a Shakespearean tragedy, right? But I think that those those tragedies can work if they are seldom, if they're placed correctly. But on the other end of the spectrum, you know, like if you're playing a full Paragon Shepherd, which it, statistics have shown most players do, if you're playing a Paragon Shepherd, why did we not receive more options like that? And conversely, if you're playing a Renegade Shepherd, why did we not see more instances of, you know, that person probably should have died, but for whatever reason, they're alive? Because that's kind of the way life goes, right? Not everything happens in this just world phenomenon the way that you'd think it would work. So I don't know. I think that kind of opens up, you know, the whole losing people thing. I agree with. I think that there should have been a little bit more tragedy in parts of three. Of course, there already was with Morden and losing Morden, because I'm pretty sure that there's only one instance in like five different outcomes where Morden survives, and a very small percentage of players actually achieve that. But yeah, I agree with the losing people, not losing people, that debacle. And you, now, Psych, you also mentioned what if the catalyst was something different? Did you have anything in mind specifically when you brought that up?
Not particularly, but just off the top of my head, we were just talking about Haystrom. You know, maybe they could have been tied into that dark energy problem, or it could have been just any other object than the Citadel. I didn't fully understand why we needed to go back to the Citadel, other than for, you know, familiarity, or
sure,
like story wise, what was its purpose to be the catalyst?
Teacup, I think you had something to say.
Well, I think that this goes back to one thing about, this is just about three. I would make the Leviathan DLC base game. That thing should have been released from launch with all the lore that it drops in that. And I think that would have been a perfect opportunity to try to find the catalyst. Like, and it fits in with the series, you know, like we have this in Mass Effect 1, we have this journey to Ilos where we have to find the Prothean VI and learn all of this thing, like all of the stuff about that. So it would fit in the series if after we get to the Elusive Man Cerberus station and we go and we kill Kai Lang and we all that, we learn, oh, like this is what that doctor was looking for. Like, we found the Leviathan there and went to find that. And that was how we got into this catalyst situation.
Yeah, these are really, really interesting theories, interesting stuff. I don't want to take away too much time from our other patrons and some of the ideas that they might have for how they would have ended things. So, it's okay with you all. Why don't we move on? Did anyone else have any specific ideas before coming into the patron chat tonight with how they would have ended things? Cool.
I have an. Giver. Okay. Baking off of Sykes' thing here, I just would have made the catalyst just a bomb. Like, as you're driving down to, like, the teleporter, I would have made that an all-out, like, battle. Like, depending on how much galactic readiness you have it, like, if it's below a certain amount, you just don't even make it. It's just, like, you try and do it, instant game over. If you're at a certain amount, like, you just kind of make it, but, like, your teammates die or something, and if you're above the good threshold, then you make it. But I would have cut out the stuff of, like, talking to the child and choosing your option. I just would have made it a bomb. Just you get it to it, you get onto the Citadel, you go and do the scene with the Elusive Man and Anderson, but it's kind of like the Elusive Man is just stopping you from activating the trigger to blow it up, and that's all it is. And then end the game there. And just, maybe you lost your friends because you didn't have enough galactic readiness, or maybe you did amazing and you did the final mission, you get the bomb, but no matter what, Shepard dies. He activated the bomb, he saves the galaxy. That's it. No Geth dead, no Edie dying or anything. Just, you got rid of the Reapers, you activated the bomb. That's all your job was. That's all I would have done with it.
So if the galactic readiness isn't high enough, you're just like game
you're
over.
Just wiped. You try and do it, and like one by one, your teammates die. You see the Normandy crash in the background because Reaper like jumps on it, and it's just like, too bad you didn't do enough stuff. You don't get the actual ending. You just see everyone die.
That's rough. That's rough. So you go back to your previous save, and you go, well, I guess I gotta go grind some more galactic readiness.
Guess I gotta go back and replay the last two games because I'm a scrub.
Guess I gotta go grind some more multiplayer if that was still in the game at the time, which it's not now because it's Legendary Edition.
Sovereign, I think you had something to say as well.
Yeah, just more of an idea. It's not exactly fleshed out, so feel free to crap all over it. But basically, if the Catalyst ended up being some fragment of Sovereign when he merged with the Citadel back in Mass Effect 1, I always thought it'd be a neat little throwback. How, why, or what? I have no idea. That's just about as far as I got with that idea.
So that's a pretty interesting idea. And I know that maybe you haven't fleshed out this idea to this extent yet, but maybe we can do that on this call. What if the Catalyst being part of Sovereign, as you had mentioned, what if that meant that in order to survive this cycle's harvest, the organic beings would have actually had to somehow control Sovereign and not destroy Sovereign?
Oh, isn't Sovereign to be the Catalyst then? Like the key to it all.
Right on.
I think maybe Sovereign likes this idea because it has to do with him.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm a little biased against it. I don't know, or biased towards it, rather. I don't know why.
Yeah, it was right there. I couldn't put my finger on it, but right there in front of my nose. While we're on the topic of Catalyst, I was actually thinking about this when Syke was talking about it, and I thought, because Shepard received the cipher, because Shepard received the vision from the beacon on Eden Prime, it, you know, maybe it would have appeared too cliche, but I also think that it would have been a little bit of a cool full circle type of storytelling by making Shepard him or herself the Catalyst. So that, and it's clear that Shepard can understand Prothean language. Shepard understands the VI on Ilos. Shepard understands Javik as soon as Javik is awakened, even though it's, you know, explained that Javik reads his physiology and then communicates through English. But Shepard understands shortly before waking up Javik, he understands the Prothean warnings through the TV. And the squad mates are thinking, well, what was that? So I just thought, what if Shepard him or herself was the Catalyst, and then that was the way that BioWare got out of ever having to use Shepard again? Because in order to use the Catalyst to activate the Crucible, Shepard would certainly die in no matter which way you used him or her. Tom, you look pretty inquisitive over there.
I mean, does I don't know. There's like, it's just another one of those chosen one tropes, though, isn't it? Like, don't people kind of push back a little when I don't know, when stories rely on like, but you're the chosen one, and it gets like the further you get into, but you're the chosen one, the only one who ever could have done this ever.
Isn't that the whole point of Shepard?
Right. I was
going
to say
the guy died and came back to life.
Right. But like,
and his program was called the Lazarus program. That kind of gives me, you're the chosen one.
Right. But the harder you push that, the more people push back against it. Right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I just don't think that there was any shortage of Jesus allegory with Shepard anyway.
Yeah. So well, that's true. It's just one of those things I wonder about, like how hard do you push that is really the question.
Right. How on the nose do you really get it?
It's one thing to just kind of like, to subtly push the allegory of it and let people go, oh yeah, there's some allegory there. There is a resurrection. There is, you know, there's a little bit of that in there, but I guess it really could have been anybody who was just fit enough to fit that role. It just happened to be Shepard because he was in the right place at the right time, you know, like that kind of thing. But then there's another one of the other point of just like, no, it absolutely was this one single human in the entire universe full of all of these races of beings because they were the chosen one in all of time and all of space for this one single moment because of this one thing right here, you know, like there's, I don't know, levels of that. I guess.
Yeah. And I think if you go too far down into that, you get into like cheesy anime category. But that being said,
we know you're a big fan of. So,
oh yeah, I'm a huge fan of several very cheesy animes. But I think, you know, even from the beginning of Mass Effect 1, there was hints that, at least in my opinion, there were hints that Shepard had some long lost Prothean ancestor because there was like this Prothean DNA type of subtle insinuation to Shepard in that how he was able to withstand the Prothean beacon, how Shepard was able to withstand the Prothean cipher, how many times different people, one of them being Liara, said this surely would have broken a weaker mind, or that, you know, no other organic being could withstand this. And I'm going to throw it back to one of my favorite, all-time favorite moments, side missions in Mass Effect 1, the Prothean sphere on Elitania, which proves that the Protheans were monitoring humanity. We already know that the Protheans were crossbreeding with the Asari. I mean, why not humans? Why not humans? And then you can throw in some of that religious mythology about the El Nofe and the half angels, half people, which I'm sure you've heard about, Tom.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to get too far into the realm of the History Channel here. So why don't we move on? And Kather, Turbo Toboggan. One of these days I'm going to get it right. Turbo Toboggan. I'm very anxious to hear about if you were to build your own Mass Effect ending from the ground up, what would it look like?
Well, I was going to comment about that, about it kind of goes with what you're just saying there, like the Shepard and stuff. I actually wouldn't change a lot of it. I would kill Shepard at the end of Mass Effect 3. Because leaving it open to him, if you have enough galactic redness for him open, that's just, I feel like it was leaving a hole open just so they could, if they wanted to continue, they continue on. I think they should just give us an outright answer, either kill him or leave him alive. Don't give this wishy-washiness. Because it makes me feel like, especially when they had the multiplayer, if you sometimes you had to do that to get enough galactic redness, or if you didn't play the earlier games, you couldn't get enough galactic redness. I just wouldn't change a lot. I just want to get a concrete answer to the ending of it. And I do not like the choices either. I really can't come down on I'm not really creative enough for that to how to fix the red, green, blue, but I wouldn't have done it like that because it just felt like it was rushed.
Yeah, and
I can't really think of a good way to fix it because mine just come out cliche or come out as other people have said, like it's just a bomb. It just fixed, but I think they should have simplified it. If they wanted an ending, they shouldn't have tried to go for grandiose. Or they should, because it just feels like they rushed it.
Sure. And that brings me to a next point. Why don't we flip this on its head a little bit and say and criticize the endings for, you know, some of the commonalities that they all presented. Are there any qualities from any of the endings or all of the endings that any of you would have taken out?
Hey there. My name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of The DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests in the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Psych.
So I'm sure we'd all agree that, like, the aspect of the destroy ending of being a little bit more judgmental with it, like, it will target the Reapers only, or
because I agree with him. I think it should target just the Reapers.
Another one would have been like, if your galactic readiness was high enough, you know, you could have found a way to build your own shepherd body again after either control or synthesis. Like, you get downloaded to another body or something. It's not like there wasn't more than one running around anyway.
Vervada, what do you think?
And I was just thinking about it. I can't focus only on the original trilogy because I played Andromeda. It's a part of Mass Effect, whether or not some people agree with that or not. But so I keep thinking of, how does it all fit together? What could they have done? I'm sad they dropped Dark Energy also, but I'm also kind of sad that, as you mentioned earlier, there wasn't any indoctrination going on around Shepard, not to mention Shepard themselves, perhaps, which would have nicely tied in the catalyst taking the form of the little boy, to be showing Shepard being indoctrinated. And I think it would, I don't necessarily think I would change anything about the way they ended it, because it has left some room to expand. Obviously, they're expanding. And I think if they could just say or show that the ending was not actually like the largest thing, like we didn't actually defeat the bad guy. We couldn't have, I don't know, obviously not, because they're making another game, but what about defeating the Reapers kept it going? Like, what's left? I guess Leviathan. I don't know. There's something there. And for me, I couldn't remember who said it before, that you just need to kill Shepard. Like, I wish that, like I said, is one thing I would have changed, would just have a concrete answer instead of like, oh, Shepard took a breath, or, you know, maybe they just, their body dissolved. Just one way, clean slate, Shepard's over, so that we can concretely say one way or the other that it ended, because it ended on, it's almost like a cliffhanger. We were all upset about it, because no matter what we picked, it still didn't feel like we had any closure at all, especially for Normandy crew. Even with the extended cut, we were like, oh, we see them flying off in the distance. Like, that's not good enough for us, BioWare. We just spent three games getting attached to all these people just for you to be like, we won, and that's it. I don't know. I guess that's what I would have changed, had just some sort of concrete answer that trilogy's over.
So,
or if we're connecting it, have it more obviously connected versus kind of like they're working backwards, like they're backpedaling at this point. Sorry, don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's almost like there wasn't a personal denouement, like this, like the French word, right? Like you didn't have a real wrap up for the, like, you spend all this time getting to know the crew and getting to know all these characters, and then you get like the galactic ending, but what you're looking for is that personal payoff. And yet they didn't really do that.
Right. There's no parade through Times Square at the end. Right. There's no, there's no Luke and Han get medals, but Chewie doesn't.
Right. There's no cheesy 80s college film ending where they're like, you know, where is this person now? This person went on and now has a drug addict problem and is in prison. This person works at the mall. You know, like,
this person drove their motorcycle off Dead Man's Curve.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. I know exactly where you're going with that. And I agree. There needed to be more of a resolution. And there just wasn't one. It was like, and it's over.
Well, like that
was pretty much it.
Yeah, the fact that it's obviously connected, the Andromeda and the original trilogy, with whatever direction they're going in for the next installment, kind of makes it feel like everything we did didn't really matter, because it's still going on. You know, this had the potential to be such, I mean, it already is, like, one of the best game stories ever written. but it still is like they've left it open. So we still don't, it's almost like Game of Thrones. If anyone is a fan of Game of Thrones, yes. And we're like, oh, book five, I guess, you know, we're never going to finish the books and the show just ended stupid. So that's the best we got, I guess. Like that's almost how it feels like to me with the end of Mass Effect 3. It's like, it doesn't really matter because we're still going. So it doesn't really matter how we ended it. Right. But I don't know if I'm the only one who feels that way, but it feels a little sad that it didn't matter as much as it felt when you were playing it when it first came out. Now that they're continuing it.
I see you shaking your head, Psych.
No, I was agreeing with her. Like, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones as well. And in fact, I'm reliving two disappointments now. And
oh no,
the weight is overwhelming. But really with Game of Thrones, I remember when Game of Thrones ended, I remember thinking back and I thought, I feel now how I felt when Mass Effect ended because it was this whole, and now it's over. There's an ending you didn't see coming, and there's nothing you can do about it. Suck it, loser. That's kind of how it felt with the writers having no denouement, like you said.
Denouement.
And so, and Hul, I know that you would have changed the ending to be a little bit more Halo-like with the bomb through the beam. What else would you have taken away from the endings as they did exist?
I'm just gonna have to go with Sarah here. I think it's just give me the ending, give me resolution. Don't just go, oh, here's your galactic ending. You did your job. I need to know, like, when are Garrus and Tali getting married? Did Shepard survive? What happened to the Krogans? Were they able to reproduce? Did they go on to be barbaric people and kill everyone like they were originally going to be? What happened? Give me some sort of payoff. That's all I would want to change from it.
How about you, Teacup?
I think when we talked about the endings, Sam had mentioned something about like we needed like a 45-minute like video of what happened, like a little mini movie that we could get at the end of the game of everything that happened. And I think I would take away the control ending entirely, because it just, they build this whole tension up with the elusive man. Like, why, like, he is indoctrinated. Why would you do the control ending? It's obviously what the Reapers want you to attempt to control them. But I would also add, I think I would add so much more to the reject ending. I would want to see like Thessia finally falling. I would want to see like all this stuff on Palavin and that too. I would want to see Earth fall. I want to see like Liara and all these people running and hiding, and Liara desperately trying to hide this holo journal so that the next cycle can find, like, on the planet of whatever species dominates the next cycle, which I think Anderson or someone does the Elcor or I can't remember which person he says, maybe they'll run the next cycle, but that's kind of like what I feel like I would want to see, that like at least at that point, like it can be a tragic ending, but it's kind of like in a Shakespearean tragedy, there's always that kind of, it doesn't end entirely detrimental. Like there's always that glimmer of hope. Like, you know, in Romeo and Juliet, the families do kind of reconcile their differences, even though the two people die. Like there's that glimmer of hope in the midst of tragedy.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think that the lower tiers of the destroy ending and the refuse ending should have been harrowing. This shouldn't have been a vague red, you know, energy field that washes over and sometimes kills more people than others. Okay. and that's what we got. And to that effect, I'll save my final comment for the end here, because I want to hear what Sovereign has to say.
You sure about that?
I do. I'm so anxious to hear what you have to say.
Oh, well, get ready for a letdown. I was just thinking I would add another color of laser. I was thinking something like a Care Bear rainbow laser. And then it's discovered that the catalyst is actually inside all of us. It's inside all of our hearts. And then all the races unite, destroy the Reapers, the galaxy saved. And then everyone goes home and eats chocolate ice cream because strawberry ice cream is friggin' disgusting. But the Turians, they have to eat extra, that Dextra vanilla.
And it was all the friends we made along the way.
Just describe Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Tom took the words right out of my mouth. I guess the catalyst was the friends we made along the way.
Yep.
Yep. That's what I would add. Game of the year. Bang. Package it. Ship it. Let's go.
Yep. And in the end, Shepard wakes up and it was all a dream.
No.
Oh.
Not one of those, please.
He does that after Andromeda.
Okay, yes.
Andromeda is all of a fever dream of Shepard's while he was recovering after he got put back together at the beginning of Mass Effect 2.
Now,
he's in a time loop. He wakes up to Jenkins just talking to him.
Well, you mentioned that you would want to see specific scenes like, you know, Garrus and did you say Garrus and Tally get married?
Garrus and Tally.
Garrus and Tally get married. I'd want to see a specific scene, and you know, it might be tragic, but what if we saw Shepard's funeral?
That'd be good. It'd be like the scene, I'm going to spoil Avengers now, but like out of Endgame, that big final scene where we're all there for Tony's funeral. How would that be if it was Shepard's? You see everyone that you saved or people you didn't save, you don't see them there and you can tell they're missing. Just something like that. Anyone you've helped, hell, even the reporter that you punch on the Citadel. Maybe if you don't punch her, she actually comes to your funeral and she's not angry with you.
I love it. That
would be a good scene. Just everyone that you've helped that was close to you, just all there at your funeral.
What were the percentages again of the people who punched the reporter?
I think it was a whole lot more people punched her than people who didn't punch her.
It was like 90% or something. It was like, it was really big. It was like way high.
And seeing, you know, this is a slightly obscure reference, but a big fish type ending like that, where, you know, they had all the people that Shepard helped along the way. And even seeing some of the, you know, harder to please characters like the Turian counselor appear at Shepard's funeral. Hell, even have Hackett give an emotional send off with a salute and like a tear rolling down his face. Hell no, Hackett would never cry, but
have it like the end of Guardians of the Galaxy when they're giving off. I forget the guy who's blue skin. I forget his name right now. I know he's played with Michael Rooker.
Yondu.
Yondu. When he dies and all of a sudden they're doing like the fireworks and all that stuff, maybe you scroll to the sky and you see like the Normandy start it, and then you see like the Alliance fleet start firing all their guns and everything.
Mm-hmm. And then it pans over to Darwin's Finches playing Kumbaya.
Playing M4 Part 2, because to date, that is still the most kick-ass song to play in any credits of any video game. My largest issue with any of the endings, all of them actually, and something that I would change, I'm not even sure how I'd change it, but my issue is that at some point along the way, the game stops being Shepard accomplishing Shepard's mission, but rather now the game is, okay, Shepard, how can you help the Reapers accomplish their mission? And I, like, when I thought about that, I was like, well, fuck that. That's not what I've been trying to do for three games now. I'm not sure how I would change it, but it's just that since when did it become Shepard's mission to help the Reapers complete theirs? You know, so I wish that there was a viable option to say that to the catalyst and then, you know, fight conventionally and win conventionally, because that should have been an option. If you grinded like I did, like so many other players did, hell, I put, I think 180 plus hours into the game on one playthrough of the trilogy. You know, I think that that should be rewarded in some way. You know, maybe it's insanely hard to reach the capability of winning conventionally, at least make it like at some way attainable. Like maybe it's only possible if you attained a certain level of EMS on insanity playthrough of 1, 2, and 3. So then it really is kind of like a secret ending, but that's just something that I would have changed.
I also feel you never get a real payoff for like all your work towards like galactic like cooperation. Like when it just ends, you just see every species on their own planet doing their own thing. There's not like the sense of, oh, we're still all in this together, you know?
Yeah, you don't get the manly bro shake between the Turians and Krogan. You know, like the bro shake heard around the world.
Like the meme, like the two guys with their fists. Yep. Like,
I think that was from Rocky.
It's Garrison,
yeah. Rick. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get any of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're getting close to the end of the show. This has been a fun conversation. Does anybody have anything else they want to chip in before we wrap this up? Any last minute thoughts? Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like it just needs to be said that, you know, we're all speaking in hindsight, and, you know, we do give a lot of credit to the BioWare writers. We weren't in the room. We weren't able to make the creative decisions. We are all speaking in 9 years of hindsight. So I just wanted to throw that out because, you know, if you guys ever get someone on, you know, maybe we should be a little nicer to them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, and this is all constructive.
No, I'm
criticism
gonna grill them.
this is all constructive. I mean, this isn't like, oh, they did terrible work. Obviously, this was a project that took thousands of hours of thoughtful thinking, redundant words. You know, a lot of work among a team that really thought through lots of little details and put so many threads had to come together in order to come into a conclusion here. That is not easy work. That is not easy work at all. And it's easy for us to sit here and, you know, pontificate and backseat drive and say, oh, I would just make this change and this change and everything would be better. But we're not actually working behind the scenes and going, well, what thread would that affect and how would it affect this thread and how would it affect this thing and how would it affect this character? Or what about this quest over here? Would it have nullified something else? Like, we're not looking at all of those other little details. And you're right. And we're looking back on it, you know, in hindsight. So when you're on a team and you have a goal to hit and you're trying to get it out, you have a lot of limitations, and, you know, they did what they could in the moment, and, you know, good for them. And yes, it would be awesome to have somebody on to really get that perspective and to see and to say, you know, congratulations on what you were able to do with the limitations that you did have, because that's amazing. And we'd love to see some of that insight.
I say the true ending should be Shepard and Sovereign have a dance battle so you can win. That's the true ending to Mass Effect right there for me.
All right, let's wrap it up. What song do they have to do the dance battle to? Go.
I need a hero.
I need a hero. Because that song, which, that song is like on every movie now lately.
Which Sovereign are we talking about?
We're talking about our tier 5 patrons.
Yes,
I was gonna say, we're talking about
Sovereign.
You silly, come on.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we need to hook you up to the motion capture device, mm-hmm, and just, you know, go at it.
Yep.
So you guys want to get canceled then? Okay, good to know.
Yep. That's our plan. All right, and you're gonna dance to "I Need a Hero." Sounds
or Darwin's good. Finch's number one hit. I forget what we said that was the other day.
Or something about two hit.
It was, you know what it was? It was Horizontal Collectivism.
Oh, can I at least like dance to Cartoon Heroes by Aqua or something?
Sure. That's
you get
good.
ABBA. Nothing more, nothing less.
Ah, okay, mm-hmm. I can do it.
Mm-hmm. It's Raining Men. I'm That's down. Another good one.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much concludes the show, guys. Thanks so much for your continued support of the Mass Effect Lorecast. You and all of our other patrons really help make us make this show happen. And God knows it's the highlight of my week. So very happy to talk with you all at the end of every month and in between on the Discord. And by the way, to everyone who's listening, if you haven't yet joined the Discord, you can interact with all of us on the Mass Effect channel of the Robots Radio Discord server. So why don't we go around and we can just let people know how to reach us. Of course, I'm at N7 The Legend on Twitch and Twitter. And Tom?
Yeah, I'm at robots_radio on Twitter. And before we get to everybody, we just have to say thank you to all of our patrons. And we have to call out Sovereign, who is here, and Stagger and Stumble, who are our Shepherd level tier 5 patrons who get calls out. Words are great. Every single week for being tier 5 patrons. And Stagger wanted to be here. He had to get up early and wasn't able to be here this week. But Stagger, thank you for being your tier 5 patron. And we were going to have our, speaking of somebody else who was going to be here and couldn't be here, our tier 5 Limerick winner this week, but we haven't heard back from them yet. Who was that again? That was, do you have the name in front of you?
That was Radio Dex.
Radio Dex. So Radio Dex.
Paging Radio Dex.
Paging Radio, Radio Dex. Dex. You won. Sure reminder, you won. Come join us next month. You can still sit in with us. Just because you missed this one doesn't mean you can't join us. So come join us next week or next month, not next week. Don't come next week. Come next month. But yeah, so we'll be back next week. He won't be. They won't be. I don't even know if it's he. They won't be. We'll be. You guys are going to let us know how we can get a hold of you or anything else cool that's going on that you want to shout out about. So let's just go down the list that I have in front of me right now with Psyche.
So you can just get me on the Discord, Psyche88. And that's really it right now.
Very cool. Well, thanks for joining us. Hool the Fool.
You can find me on Twitch, Twitter, and Discord, all at Hool the Fool. I know the last couple of days I've been playing a lot of Halo with Sam, so you can also catch us on that.
Sweet, sweet. And Vervada?
Hi, I'm Vervada on the Discord, and One Cat from Crazy on Instagram, because I foster a lot of kittens, so.
That's such a good name. And Teacup?
Yeah, just Teacup on the Discord, at DA Lorecast on Twitter for the Dragon Age Lorecast, which launched its episodes the past 2 weeks. There are 2 episodes on there. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. I think that's it right now.
Yeah. And go check that out. Dragon Age Lorecast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club. So go check that out. And then Sovereign.
Well, when I'm not getting dancing lessons to prepare for my big giant dance off, you can find me on the Discord. I think I'm Sovereign 1-on-1 on there.
Awesome. And Turbo Toboggan had to leave for work. So thanks for being here, Turbo Toboggan, also another wonderful name. And Seven, anything else you want to share before we head out?
You know, I already mentioned it, but I feel like it bears repeating that, you know, I really do appreciate all of the support that you all provide to this podcast. Of course, we would do it and we would make this podcast, you know, able to listen to it without charging, no matter what, because this is what we love and we love doing this. But I also, you know, have said it before. Part of the reason that I started this podcast was because I loved Mass Effect, but the other part was because I wanted to talk to other people who loved Mass Effect. And that's exactly what we get to do every month. So I'm very happy that you're here. And that's pretty much it. I mean, we have next week is a surprise episode, so I don't want to tease too much about what we're going to be talking about on next week's episode. But suffice it to say, it will come as at least a little bit of a surprise, and it will mark the next phase of the Mass Effect Lorecast.
Mass Effect Lorecast season 2. Well, it's not really a season 2, but it'll be fun. So looking forward to that. And guys, thank you again for joining us. This is always fun. And we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, live chat, for being here, for watching us on Twitch and on YouTube. And we'll see you next time. Have a good night, everybody. Have a good rest of your week. And Sam and I will see you guys tomorrow night for the Xbox Game Pass show, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. Come join us for that, even if you don't have the Xbox Game Pass. If you just like playing video games and hearing about some new games that you can play, you can come hang out, check it out, and join us for that. So we'll see you. All right, everybody. See ya. Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com. Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And
We're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
Hey, Simone.
Yes, Chad.
What would you say is your favorite bad movie?
Oh, where would I start? But probably at Zombie Strippers.
Oh, yeah, which we've actually done on our podcast, Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast. This is a podcast where we take some of the worst movies ever created, and even some of those movies that you might have thought were brilliant, but still got a bad critic score, and we say nice things about them. Because you know what? Someone put the effort in, so we're gonna be there, fighting in their corner.
Absolutely, Chad. Even if the movie was total garbage, there is some makeup artist that gave it their all, and we're here to recognize that.
Exactly. And with really fun themes every week, such as National Treasure Week, Weddings Week, movies with Jeremy Irons and dragons in them. How could you go wrong by joining us every Tuesday and Thursday for some optimism in your life?
And like we say at the end of every episode, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.
We love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Goodbye!
Ever wanted to be a content creator but had no clue where to begin? Come join me as I sit down with content creators that have already faced the challenges you're up against, as they discuss the tips and tricks that help them be successful. Here on The Content Creator's Guide, available wherever podcasts can be found.